We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky, and this is Wrestling with the Basics. And at my right hand, I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church, nestled in the beautiful tree-lined streets of the St. Louis Hills neighborhood, St. Louis, Missouri.
And
glad to be
us,
here.
Remind us again what you're close to, Matt?
Close to a number of attractions, including Tedra's frozen custard.
Now, usually, of course, I'm from St. Paul's in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt, a couple of little rural, small town, southern Illinois parishes. Of course, nothing to compare to the big city of St. Louis, but I do think I can one-up you.
I think I can one-up you this time. Okay.
So, guess what they handed out at the New Athens parade? Because do you have an Ascension Lutheran or St. Louis parade that you go to over there in your little community?
Well, they do have the VP Fair Parade.
Well, that's downtown St. Louis.
St. Louis City. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there's events, but not a parade like New Athens. I've been to the homecoming parade?
The homecoming parade,
I've been there.
That's exactly what it is.
It's a big event.
Yes, it is. But here's the thing that I think would even top the VP parade. We handed out bacon. They handed out bacon at the New Athens parade. I wasn't there because we have church on Saturday nights. That's the time of the parade. But I might have canceled services if I'd known they were handing out bacon.
Is that right? So instead of throwing the candy from the floats or the necklaces, they're just throwing the bacon.
They were doing that too, but that's what I'm saying. It's your ordinary parade. You get your candy and your necklaces or whatever. But we had bacon as well.
So was it cooked or was it just raw bacon that they were throwing out?
No, it was cooked, of course.
Sounds a little unsanitary, John. I don't know.
No, the local barbecue place, the Steamboat Biscuit and Brisket. We'll put a plug in for them. They were going up and down the parade route, handing out this wonderful smoked bacon. Mmm, it is so good.
Neat.
So take that, Ted Drews. All right, we got to get started because it's time again for our opening joke, Jeopardy.
All right, great. Our summer feature.
Yeah,
great.
We only got a few more weeks of this,
so
enjoy it. Enjoy it while you've got it. Again, just a disclaimer, it may not be a joke. It may be an amusing anecdote, a humorous story, or an interesting trivia. Here are your categories. Bad joke number two. apparently, you were so sickened by bad joke number one that you've not chosen this category, but it's still up there on the board, Alex. The second category is opposite words. The third category is laughter's the best medicine. The fourth category is follow-up to the vegetable conspiracy.
Oh, is that a new one?
That's a new one. Boy. And the fifth is the decline of a great American tradition. That's the other new category.
Boy.
Have the decline of a great American tradition. So which one, again, you get to choose, which one would you
like?
Well,
see, I guess I've been avoiding the bad joke ones just because that's a regular feature here
on
Wrestling
Basics. That's true.
That's nothing new. But can we do the vegetable follow-up?
Oh, I'm so glad.
All right, good.
That's what I was going to do regardless of what you suggested.
Oh, it's a daily double. Look at that.
That's right. Yeah, let me get it up here on my phone. Because I want you to verify this, because people are not going to believe this. People are going to think that we're making this up, but this isn't. This is science now we're giving you. We are a cutting-edge show. You get things here before you're going to find them out on ESPN or any of the other major networks.
You heard it here first.
Right. Why would people find out stuff on ESPN? That's a sports network. Isn't it?
I don't know.
Fox or CNN or any of those. So a few weeks ago, we were warning you that we're going to find out that vegetables are not as good as what people think they are.
I remember
that. Yeah, well, used to be cigarettes. Smoke, that's good for you. No, that's horrible. Red meat, milk, all of these things that used to be praised as healthy things, we now realize that they actually can cause you trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that's what's going to happen with vegetables. Sooner or later, we're going to see what we really need to be eating is overstuffed potatoes and bacon
from the parade.
Bacon from the parade and hot fudge sundaes. Because I've yet to see anyone say that those are bad, you know. But here,
at least no one on ESPN. man.
Here's the article that I ran across. Now, you read this so the people know this is the truth. This is from a legitimate site, by the way.
Yeah, biology and botany is the category. It says fruits and vegetables are trying to kill you.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's the proof you've been looking for. They're actually trying to kill us. and you know what the deal is? You know what the deal is? Are they trying to kill us?
Yeah, what's the background
here?
Well,
I want you to think about it. If you're a carrot, what's the last thing you want someone to do? If you're a carrot, you're having your nice like carrot life, you're living your life there in the ground, enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I guess to pick you and then eat you.
Exactly. And so we've discovered now, and again, I'm not making this up, honestly. This is science. We found out that these vegetables actually have their own kind of organic pesticide. It's not that we're spraying them with stuff, but they themselves make pesticides precisely so people won't eat them.
To keep us away. We're the pest.
That's right.
Interesting.
And so there's a reason why vegetables taste horrible without, of course, a nice creamy cheese sauce. Because they're supposed to taste horrible. That's what vegetables want.
Oh, okay. So before you pick them, they taste good.
Well, now, you're laughing at that, but there is a study that shows that once caterpillars get on, like, the leaves of a vegetable, they actually will produce these bad-tasting chemicals.
Is that right?
So probably if we weren't eating them, they probably taste
they taste great.
Yeah, like hot fudge sundaes.
And bacon.
But as soon as we pick them and eat them. And anyway, so we're actually finding out that vegetables have this harmful thing. Although here's the sad truth. Apparently these harmful pesticide things are actually good for us because it makes our body produce chemicals that are healthy.
Oh,
kind of like the whole
antibody
deal. You know, they give you the flu shots so that you'll produce. Well, apparently that's how vegetables work too.
How about that?
That's what they're telling us, but I'm still thinking it's a danger. I don't know if I want to take that risk.
I'm just like the guys with the flu shot,
right? I'm not going to. They're putting that virus in me.
Play it safe. Stick with the hot fudge sundae.
There you go. No one's ever
died
from
eating
hot
fudge. That's the moral of the story.
Thank you. Enough of that stupidity, because we got great stuff here. In fact, you've got me intrigued. What is the fruit of the spirit we're doing now?
Oh, good. So we're continuing with our little series here on Wrestling with the Basics, looking at the fruit of the spirit, those nine fruit. Recorded in the book of Galatians, chapter 5.
And what is the fruit we have today?
And what we've done, love, joy, peace. So the next one is patience.
And here's patience. What tickles me. So Matt says, is it, I don't know if it's patience or not. You're doing the series. But he says, I think it's where, and he said, let's go to Exodus 32? And I'm thinking, what does that have to do with patience? So I'm kind of excited to see how you're going to relate the whole business of patience with the story of
the golden calf.
The golden calf.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with patience? All right.
Well, you know, I think the one reason I wanted to use this as an example is I think sometimes people think that patience is just a modern day problem, that people just became impatient recently. It's a recent thing. You know, we've got the internet and technology and all this. We're becoming more and more impatient.
That's right.
And I
want it instantaneously.
Yeah. Yes. In fact, there was a study done on patience where they actually timed how long people are willing to wait for something to load on the internet. You know, a picture,
exactly.
Video, and they, you know, people estimated, 30 seconds, you know, and they found out people started checking out after 2 seconds. 2 seconds.
Is that right?
By 10 seconds, hardly anyone was left. Almost everyone just quit.
So that's why no one's listening to the show right now. We had them for the first 10 seconds.
Okay. What can you do?
So patience, people. Patience.
That's right. That's right.
We'll get to the point. We're trying to teach you a lesson here.
So, so another scientific study here, like the vegetable one.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Where is it?
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
See, you know, little do our listeners know that the whole intro with the vegetables and with my ramblings about the internet, that's all just a concrete example of having patience.
That's exactly
so if you're
right.
Still tuned in to KFUO, good for you. You're patient.
You have the fruit of the spirit.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just wanted to share what this researcher says about this study. I thought it was kind of funny. It says, as internet speeds increase, people will be even less willing to wait for that cute puppy video to upload. And then the researcher who spent years developing the study, worries that someday people will be too impatient to conduct studies on Patience. I thought that was pretty good.
That is pretty great.
But again, the point in sharing that is, you know, our technology, the internet, things on demand, fast food, all these things, they may contribute to our impatience, but they're certainly not the cause of our impatience. Now, people have been impatient, I would say, since Adam and Eve took a bite of that forbidden fruit.
Yes, that's what I've been saying.
Very good. Thanks for that affirmation. And one example here is from the Old Testament thousands of years ago,
okay.
And here's God's people being impatient. Ooh. No internet to make them impatient.
I think I'm finally beginning
okay.
to see where you're
good.
Going.
Oh, good, okay. good. So we're in Exodus chapter 32, if you're following along, and we'll start with verse 1.
When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him."
Okay.
Thanks.
So it's not an example of patience. It's an example of impatience,
yeah.
Sinful impatience. And how quickly you think of what the Israelites just went through, how they were delivered from slavery and all those plagues and God's work manifested and how he showed himself to be more powerful than any of those false gods of Egypt. And here they come to Mount Sinai and Moses has been gone for a while and it doesn't take long.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened to this guy. So the best...
That's right. That's the problem. He may not be coming back.
He may not come back.
The puppy video may not even load. That's what frustrates me. How do I know that little spinning wheel means that it's just taking time or that the whole thing has just gone to pot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't. It takes
that's right.
patience. You got to find out. And the people, that's what they sorely lack is impatience. So rather than patiently waiting for Moses, God's appointed leader, instead they impatiently settle for something far less, obviously, something sinful. They settle for an idol that's crafted with their own hands that Aaron himself helps to put together. Ugh.
Do you want me to keep on reading that?
Well, you know, where I want to skip ahead to, we see the people's impatience.
Yes.
But on the flip side, if we go just a few chapters later
there
to...
Is a flip side?
Yep. Okay. 34 verse 6, Exodus 34 verse 6. Following all this, God gets upset, no doubt about it, and rightly so, because they're turning away from him. But as all of this kind of comes to a head here, we hear this word, this description of God from Exodus 34, beginning with verse 6.
The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord," all four capitals, by the way, there. For those that are listening, so this is actually Yahweh.
Oh, very good, yeah,
name,
good to point out, the Lord,
himself,
Yahweh.
Yeah. So the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
Okay, all right, okay. good. We'll stop there, but especially that second part of verse 6, the Lord, God, is a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So really, that's patience. Long-suffering, sometimes, I think the King James Version uses. That's who our God is. So I just wanted to share, for starters at least, that contrast between the sinful impatience of the Israelites, but yet God's slow to anger patience with these people.
Yeah, and see, now the thought occurred to me, now because have you got your bookmark yet? Have you memorized
yes,
all seven?
I've got them down.
Okay.
All nine.
All right. So give me those first gifts again.
Okay, love, joy, and peace.
All right, love, joy, and peace, and now
patience.
Patience. And I'm beginning to think that that's the stuff that God has, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. These are God's things.
Yeah.
And now
no
all
doubt.
Of a sudden, he wants to share them with us.
Yeah.
I didn't really think about the fact that this all is the way God is, and now... It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's his Spirit.
Yeah,
so,
that's who he is.
Yeah.
You know, and we're doing a sermon series on this over at Ascension where we don't have bacon parades.
That's right.
But, you know, and that's one thing that really has come up again and again, and I don't want to sound like a broken record as I preach, but I think you really hit the nail on the head that time and again, God, and specifically our Savior, is really the embodiment of these fruit. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. He is patience. And so we look to him as the one who is patient, and then as a result of being connected to him, as branches of the vine, we bear that fruit of patience in our life too. So it's not that he's just a model to follow. No, it's not that. But it's also, that's who he is. And because of his love and patience and all those attributes of God, he has shown those things to us. And he's demonstrated those more specifically in his son.
And I like that. I like that thought, that he's not a model.
Yeah.
It's not like God is saying, okay, here's how you need to be. No, you got working on that.
Sure.
But rather, it is what he is. And through his word and through his sacrament, as a vine attached, or the branches rather attached to the vine, this stuff then flows into us. So mm-hmm. It's not a matter that you need to try harder to be patient. It's a matter that you need to understand that God is patient.
Yeah.
And that we're one with him. And therefore, that's going to start flowing, much to our surprise, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you a concrete example
of
that?
Yeah, please do.
Impatience. It's part of all of our lives. And I think you're right. I think probably the key to being patient is to recognize we by nature are impatient. We shouldn't be surprised by that. We say,
that's really our default position. Yeah,
that's our default mode.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
what we're going to fall back to. So we had this thing where we were traveling to Michigan, and my car broke down. Of course, that's what always happens when you're on vacation out of state. Not a major breakdown, thank God. I'm not complaining, Lord, please. You know, I think sometimes the Lord says, oh, he's whining again. Awesome. I'll give him a reason to whine.
I'll give him a real breakdown.
But the cruise control wouldn't work, okay?
Yeah.
So this required me, because I have a Mazda, which I love my Mazda. But there's not a lot of Mazda dealers in Michigan, you know. That's kind of like your American Motors place up there.
Detroit
Fords,
and,
Chrysler stuff.
Bet.
So I had like a two-hour drive to get to a Mazda dealer. Had to make the trip back and forth to the Mazda dealer three times because they couldn't, you know, they had to get a part the first time. And then when I went back the second time, they couldn't get it to work. So I had to go back a third time.
Oh, no.
But what was remarkable is I was patient during all of that. I didn't get frustrated. I didn't get upset. I sat there. I did a little reading, waiting. In fact, kind of enjoyed the fact that I didn't really have anything to do. It was vacation time. I wasn't under the gun to try to get things accomplished, which, again, I'm trying to say that would not be my nature. I doubt that I would have been patient if I'd been back home.
Sure.
But it was this wonderful blessing. And indeed, the service manager says, he said, I just am so impressed of how patient you are and bearing with us, because I know it's got to be frustrating to you. And I didn't know what to say, because it wasn't like I was intentionally being patient. It just was that way. And under different circumstances, I guess my old sinful flesh would have showed itself, but that's just how it was. So anyway, there's my little story.
Well, and maybe we shouldn't be surprised by that. These fruit of the Spirit, these gifts from God, maybe life just goes better when we bear these fruit in our lives, all by his power. Things are better when you're patient and kind and gentle and have some self-control, as we'll get to later. Yeah, no surprise. These are gifts from God. He knows what he's doing.
So again, my practical suggestion would be acknowledge the fact that we're not that way, and then just repent of that and say, Lord, man, I'm sorry. I'm so impatient. But that's what I love about this passage. Guess what? God's still patient.
Yeah. Right?
He doesn't get angry. Doesn't get upset with us. He says, I know what you're like. All right. You will suffer some consequences of this. Just when you eat vegetables, you know, there's consequences. But on the other hand, the attitude and nature of God doesn't change. So I kind of took us off on a track there. What else have you got on
patience? No, it's fine. I would just say, at the root of our impatience, especially when it comes to our impatience with God in particular, like these Israelites are really impatient. They're impatient with God's representative, Moses, and I think by extension, they're impatient with God himself. What causes our impatience with God? What's at the root of that, do you think?
I don't know, Matt. What is at the root of that, other than the fact that we're sinful people?
Sure, sure. You know, and I would just, my suggestion would just be simply that thought that our timing is better than God's timing. You know, we know better than God, and especially when it comes to timing, we know what time is best. And that's certainly not the case. God's timing is the one that's perfect.
Well, and you know, now again, you got me thinking. I got to stop doing that, Matt. It's hurting my brain. We get done with these things and I have a headache. But think about the really greatest things in life, and they are all a matter of timing that we had no control over. I think about when I met my first wife. It was not something I planned, and I might have been getting impatient. I might think, come on, give me somebody now. But this wonderful woman that I ended up marrying, no, I had to wait until November at the college there up in St. Paul before I met her. Now, I could have met somebody a lot earlier, but no, that wasn't the one I wanted. And the same thing with Lynn, you know. Again, it was a matter of being patient, waiting for the Lord to do, because you're right, the Lord, in the best things of our life, he's got these great things, but you can't force the issue. Sometimes you just have to wait for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we can see that in retrospect, maybe in our lives.
Oh,
hindsight,
yeah.
How, yeah, that was God's timing. That really was. That worked out well. That was to my for my blessing and benefit. But when you're in the midst of it, oh, geez, that's not easy. But, you know.
But it's the same problem you mentioned before, because we're not sure that there will be an answer.
Yeah, yeah.
The puppy video may never show up. That's what we're thinking.
Yeah. You know, so I think what we do then is we go back to God's word, and we go back to all those assurances of how God has worked throughout history, and he does come through.
Yes.
He does keep good on his promise, and so we can be patient. And I think that's really the key to patience, too, especially in the midst of suffering, perhaps, in our life.
Oh, man, yeah.
Is in the midst of suffering, you know, whether it's a sickness or a death in the family or a long-term illness, whatever the case may be, I think the key to patience is a trust in God's promise that, yeah, God is going to follow through. It's not like the video, the puppy video that never uploads, you never get to see. No, God is going to keep those promises. He's done it in the past. He does it today. And especially those promises centered again in our Savior Jesus Christ, you know, who brought that about. Our Savior's birth and his life and ministry, all at the perfect time. You know, they're in Bethlehem while Caesar Augustus is emperor, and on Good Friday, he dies just the right time, we're told, for the ungodly. And Easter Sunday, he promised that he'd rise 3 days later, told his disciples that. 3 days later, guess what? He rises. He kept those promises in the past. He'll keep them now and into the future, and especially then, on the last day, Jesus returned. And when we're told in God's word that God is being patient even with that.
That's what I was thinking, that Peter passage. It's not that God is slow, as some count slowness, but he's being patient. Yeah. By the way, waiting for you to repent.
Yeah, yeah, you
so
bet.
That will be a good time when he returns. It'll be the best of
It'll
times.
Be the best. For us to repent, for those who have not yet heard, for them to hear their Savior, so they may repent and turn and believe.
Which is a good point, too, because maybe we need to be patient, not for ourselves, but for the sake of others. There may be other people that will be blessed by the fact that our blessings have been delayed.
Yeah. So. And I would just encourage people, too, for those people that maybe, that people in their life that maybe aren't Christians, and maybe they've shared God's word with them before. They really haven't seen much results, though. Not much has happened. No big change. Keep sowing the seed of God's word.
Yeah.
Be patient. Sow it and sow it and sow it some more. And we have that promise that God's word doesn't return empty, but accomplishes what he wants. And of course, in his timing. So be patient.
Back to the story we had a couple of weeks ago. That's right. Sometimes we don't see the fruit of our labor immediately, but you just keep on doing that, because inevitably there will be that 160, 30-fold fruit like it talked about in the parable we had a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, any last words here, Matt, as we get ready to wrap up?
In our impatience, we thank God for his patience, and we know that he's going to come through on his promises because he's a faithful God. We'll get to faithfulness, that fruit, in a couple weeks, but he's kept his promises in the past. He'll keep his promises to you today, and he does it all in his perfect timing.
And, you know, the neat thing about that is that he will be that way even when we are impatient.
Yeah, that's right. It never changes. We can't change that. It's God's character.
Well, Matt, again, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And we'll continue. What's the gift for next week?
Let's see. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness.
Kindness. All right. Okay. So join us next week, and we'll learn about the gift of God, the fruit of the Spirit of kindness.
Sounds good.